finding the contact, writing every email by hand, it's just a lot of work. I guess I just talk about outsourcing it a lot, partly because I run an agency and I just talk to everyone who wants to outsource this. Yeah, if you want a DIY, just it doesn't cost anything. Just write the articles. Don't pay for links. Write good articles that actually do something for the audience. Get it published. Get your link in there. Link to your stat page. And then, yeah, that'll do it.
Welcome to the third season of the Simple and Smart SEO Show, the podcast dedicated to empathy-driven, brand-building SEO. I'm your host, Crystal Waddell. I leverage my obsession with user experience to help business owners just like you optimize your website with confidence. Thank you so much for being here. Let's jump into another great episode. Welcome back to the Simple and Smart SEO Show podcast. I'm your host, Crystal Waddell, and today I'm here with one of my new friends, Nick Rubright. And we met on LinkedIn, just having chats about SEO and link building. And so Nick kindly came on the show to share some link building and PR strategies that even solo business owners can try to execute. So welcome to the podcast, Nick. It's so nice to have you here.
Thanks. I'm excited to have the discussion.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about who you are and your journey in SEO. Like, how did you even become a part of the SEO community?
Oh man, I've been doing SEO for 10 years and I started when I was in college. I built like a music streaming app and I went to the record companies and they wanted $1 million for licenses. So I was like, okay, I don't have $1 million. Then I started like DMing musicians on Facebook and I was like, man, this takes forever. What if there was a way to get them? I wonder if they're Googling something. And then I was like, how do I get at the top of Google? So I just figured it out. I built a blog and I did SEO, grew it to 35,000 monthly visitors. I eventually had to shut down the app, but I had this traffic and then I was trying to figure out how to monetize it. So I did affiliate marketing and I built some affiliate posts. I did some email marketing. I injected affiliate links into my content that was doing well and stuff. And I got $2,000 a month in money for me, which is a lot for my affiliates like Amazon, where I was only making 3%. They were making like 50 grand a month off my traffic. Yeah, at that point, I was driving for Uber to make money. And I went to my parents and I was like, could I sell this? And they're like, yeah. So I started doing freelancing and then, yeah, it snowballed into what is now my agency. And yeah, that's how I got going with SEO.
What's interesting is I feel like I've heard your story on a different podcast.
Really? Maybe I've been on other podcasts, so maybe.
If I'm familiar with the music app and then asking your parents about what you should do. And then what was the other? Oh, the Uber driving. Maybe that's just how people have in common as they're building apps and their businesses, but it's funny. I feel like I've heard those three elements before.
Yeah, I've been on other podcasts and ClickUp did a story about it and Mailshake did a story about it. I don't know, maybe I've mentioned it before, but I think there's SEO professionals that have worked inside of companies. And then there's people like me who figured out, and I think it's sold differently by each party, right? People inside big companies do SEO a lot differently, I think, than people like me who figured it out. To us, it's more like science, and to them, it's more like math.
Yeah, for sure. It's like forming a hypothesis and saying, okay, does it work? Does it not? What can you adjust to make it work?
How do I do it? It's like from nothing. I don't know. It's you just figure it out. And we need this many links or pages or whatever because their boss is like looking for some KPI. I don't know. I guess it's just versus small.
Yeah. When you are in it and it's your business and every minute, every dollar counts, I think you can get to the heart of what really matters for your business faster than someone who does have a checklist of things to meet. Because it's, look, sometimes you just have to make the priority of what is actually going to move the needle. There's all the things that would be great to do. It's what do we actually need to do to make money?
I think big clients just don't realize that they need, like, I like to treat the big clients and the small clients the same. Like, we got to be efficient with the dollar. It's like a responsibility as a marketer to be efficient with your dollars because people get jobs off of our work or keep their jobs off of our work because we're supposed to acquire new customers for the business. So we offset churn. So we have to do our job so people can keep their jobs. We have to be efficient with the dollar. So I think it's important to think entrepreneurially in a marketing role, just in any marketing role, right? Telling your managers off when they're asking for too much is an important part of that.
Yeah. But again, if they want to keep their jobs, I don't know. So
that's a balance. It's a balance.
What's the name of your agency?
Our Ranko Media.
Ranko Media. Okay. Awesome. So you told me, like in our discussions back and forth, you said that PR is such a huge part of SEO and links from PR work way faster. Can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah. So I don't know why, but I know that when I get links from like a PR story, it inflates domain authority and rankings much faster. And what I think is happening I don't know because we don't know how Google works, but it seems like the websites on Google News are indexed faster because Google needs that information like now from news sites, right? A newer website or like a blog or something, you can publish content. It might take a week to get indexed, but Google can see some information that's newsworthy live. I don't know how they do this because I experimented with that. I published a story like Fall Out Boy's Twitter got hacked like a bunch of years ago, and I published a story about it on my blog and it instantly went to Google News and got to the top. And I'm like, how'd they find this so fast? I still don't know, but there's something about like newsworthy content that I think gets indexed faster. And I think that's where they start. Then they follow the links out from that. Because news stories reference things like data and statistics that are available on many websites that are built by subject matter experts. Like if you're researching this stuff and you're putting out data, you're probably a subject matter expert. And those are the websites Google wants to find. So I don't know. I think it works that way, but I've just noticed if I get PR stories going out, I get links faster, they get indexed faster, stuff happens faster. It's just that to get them, it's this like really iterative process in getting the story right. So while the links happen faster, it's okay, it still takes time to get the story right. Like probably three stories, three tries. And the tries are expensive because you got to do a ton of research. You got to build, you don't have to build content on your website, but I like to because the outcome is better.
I was just thinking, number one, I agree with you. I think because news is so timely, they probably have something in place to make sure that goes out first. So I totally agree with you on that. And then I heard something about the faster way to get your content indexed is to tweet it. Next is Twitter more efficiently or whatever. So hearing you say that just reinforces like something I heard somewhere to be true. So
that's probably true. They probably take it if it's being shared on social media a lot. They probably go, okay, we got to put this in. I'd imagine because it's 15% of searches every single day have never been searched before. Mm-hmm. So they've those pages. So like, where are they finding them? You know what I mean? That's like the news element of this. I think a lot of those keywords are probably newsworthy keywords and they're like trying to find it on things like social media. That's where they go probably deep crawling, I would say. Like they crawl the internet for, okay, we got to find that one piece of content that says this and that might be true. I don't know. They're freaking crazy. The smartest people in the world work there. I don't know.
I mean, yeah, it's definitely above my pay grade. In terms of the fastest working PR, you mentioned that podcasts are probably the best. Can you explain that?
Yeah, I think podcasts are the most like inexpensive type of campaign to run because you don't have to build content on your website. And it's a bit predictable. You just have to get your pitch right and then you participate. You don't have to build a whole blog post and pitch that out for links and then fail on content. And content's good content's expensive to build, but it has to be good if you're going to win. So it's like one of those things where you just have to spend a lot of money to try. It's just like music. I've played in bands and stuff and I've put out music. I know it's the same thing. Like you have to make a really good song. And if you're pitching bad content, then it's not going to land.
How do you get the pitch right? I think that's the secret sauce, right? What does that even mean?
Yeah. So it's really aligning with their, I call it content intent. Like, why are they putting out content? Like getting to the root of that. So looking at their previous work, like listening to their prior podcasts, what are they giving their audience that their audience is coming to them for? And then you got to build something like that. So build something that helps them continue with their narrative.
Find a way to help them so they can help you.
Exactly. You're just giving them some more of their narrative, right? I'm pretty good at this link building stuff. So I'm pitching podcasts about that. I know some deep cut link building knowledge that I can take as a subject matter expert and go, hey, we can do a story on this and you probably can't get it elsewhere. So I have that going for me. But if you don't have a lot going for you, if the purpose is links, you can find a hook based on your personal experiences. Like, why'd you start the business? And then what'd you learn doing that thing that you can teach? What can you teach? As far as content on the internet, people go for knowledge a lot, like knowledge or information, especially in B2B. They're trying to learn because everyone, like in marketing, everyone's pretty much a scammer. You know what I mean? You get all those DMs on LinkedIn with this DR20 or 58 links or whatever. I'm trying to sell link building in that. So you can't even imagine like how it is for me. I'm like, I have to get this perfect copy to get any responses. But I don't know. Being in that, I've learned that it's like, man, if I showcase myself as an expert through education, then they can find me.
Yeah. So that was one thing I liked about what you did, because you're talking about public relations as a method of getting links versus just buying links and link building services. Because ever since I come into the world of SEO, like the one thing that I have constantly heard is this negative narrative around link building, like buying links. And I'm like, wow, that's just so brave to be in the link building business if you're doing it right, because it's just got such a negative connotation. But
yeah, it does. Because I've been pitching content lately. I'll sell links later. Because content's easy. I'm like, okay, I'm a good writer. I have some good samples. I can sell off that. They don't think I'm a scammer. And then when I have the client, I'm like, okay, you need links. And they're like, and I'm like, oh no, you trust me though. Hold on. So I can have the discussion later on now. And I'm trying that approach. And yeah, and cold DMing works. Just for, I don't know if there's any freelancers or anything listening. If you can do cold DMs, it can work. I just closed Spotify's business spinoff from a cold DM on LinkedIn. I just DM'd the CMO and she thought it was a link spammer. Like, oh, one of these link guys. And she came back, look, I get a lot of these. I'm not interested. And I'm like, yeah, but, and I don't remember how I got her, but yeah, just, I don't know. It works.
Stay persistent.
And just being honest and like real with them, aligning. It's all about aligning, like with PR, with sales, with any kind of outreach. It's about aligning with their goal. And if you're offering a service, that's what you're doing anyway. So I'm aligning with their goal of growing their business on some level. And if they're like looking for that, she's like, well, I am looking for content. I'm like, okay, cool. Then it's just about answering the questions. Okay, what's the price? Oh, it's whatever this. Why is it so much? Because I always get that. It's all this work. Yeah. So I think we're talking about how to get the pitch right. And there's this framework I follow called ADA, awareness, interest, desire, action. And I write my pitches off of that. So the awareness is like, get the subject line, get your first sentence really personalized on that message. In my agency, we built an AI to personalize emails. It learned off of 10 years of my emailing history because I've been doing cold email for 10 years. A lot of people don't have that. But so what you do is with that first sentence, you got to just read their content, something they published, understand their need and connect with that. And it doesn't have to be like a whole freaking paragraph. It can be like, I love your article about this. Really like your point about blah, blah, blah. And they just move on. It just has to be something to show that you're like a real person. And then you can pretty much templatize the rest, right? As long as it aligns, as long as the pitch is good, right?
Yeah.
And if you understand what they're looking for, you just give them the information and make it fit on one screen. Make the email short. It's got to fit on a phone. Like the whole thing, like start to finish on an iPhone screen, like no scrolling. Then you got good copy.
Yeah. You're making me think of like the pitches that I receive from people. And it's funny, like for anyone listening that wants to pitch the podcast or pitch any other podcast, what catches my eye is when someone mentions the name of the show in the first sentence. Because I'm like, oh, they're actually talking to me. This isn't just mass generated. And maybe it was. Maybe it was just insert a field, but it still gets my attention. And then the ones that really turn me off are the ones that are more, this is this person and this is why they would be good for your show. Because it just starts off that icky, this is why they're so great and you should promote them.
It would be better if they're like, hey, I just listened to this episode that you interviewed, Nick. I love what you guys talked about digital PR. I tried that and I learned a lot. And then they went into, I think I can add value and do the next episode because I can talk about like my case study that I just ran off of what Nick said. What do you think?
Yeah, exactly. Make it align and make it, like you said, benefit the other person as well.
Just one more thing. Just try because you get it perfect. They'll come back and say, no, not interested. But then you can say, oh, what do you need? They engaged back. You have a chance.
Yeah, very true. Okay, so you mentioned that you have some things going for you that other people don't have. And when I hear you say that, it makes me think of relationships with media people. And so I just wondered, is that something that you have going for you? And do you have any tips on how to build relationships with people in the media that you can continually go back to share data or stories?
Yeah, so I thought about this a lot when I was younger. And to be honest, you don't need relationships to be successful in PR. You just need a good story. Like cold works, cold email works. You'll probably get a 3 to 5% win rate if you have a good story. That surprised me too when I really like dove into the research of this and I talked to other people doing it. Like even other PR people, they're like, yeah, I mean, I have relationships, but if they don't like the story, they're not going to publish it. It's the same thing, right? And you know, if 100% of the people you email you have a relationship with, yeah, you'll get a higher win rate. But you don't need it to be successful, right? You can be successful at 3 to 5% win rate with good targeting. And then after you get a win, then there's a relationship because you just helped them because you gave them a good story. There you go. You have a relationship. So just start with cold outreach and then it snowballs over time into a lot of contacts. But you can't pitch them a bad story. You got to pitch them something that's meaningful to their audience. And that's how you get the relationship because they're getting so many bad pitches all the time. You get the relationship by giving good pitches. And then they go, okay, this is like a legit, he's listening and cares about my, you know, So then you get the relationship that way, even in a cold pitch. And then you just go back to them and then they know you and they say yes, because it's an easy yes. You got through the trust barrier. That's how it helps. But that it's just an advantage.
What about this? How important are affiliate rings within what you're pitching to the people you're pitching to, like journalists? Because I've heard that a way for them to monetize your content is an incentive for them to pick up your story. So how important are, you know, incentives like that?
It depends on them. You know, if you research the content and see they're adding links, then yeah, it's a powerful incentive. I mean, seeing how they monetize the website is huge. If I'm pitching guest posts, I can pitch, you know, software companies and say, hey, I can write about this feature and how it benefits your audience. They're going to love that because that's a sales piece to them, but it's a link for me because I get a guest post published. So I don't know. In general, guest posting in B2B is much easier because, like we talked about, B2B, they use a lot of knowledge sharing to sell. So it's easy to get guest content on these websites of like B2B software companies and stuff. So if you ever need a hack for links, there you go. Do B2B outreach somehow in your industry.
Yeah. First year out, I was thinking that. I was like, dang, that's smart. And I'm making mental note of it.
Yeah, do it. Yeah. Because if you're in like cannabis or something, right? It's the hack there. What's a cannabis software company or something? Like, who sells B2B here, you know, because they want educational content to sell with. So you can sell the benefit of your content. That's the hardest industry I've worked in. And that's the hack I figured out, right? Go B2B somehow with those.
And as an emerging industry too, that's probably a huge wide open blue ocean in terms of creating content.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, definitely.
Okay. So I also reached out because I was interested in learning how to create linkable assets for my website, collageandwood.com. And for those of you guys who don't know, I'm a maker. I sell and ship giant wooden letters all across the United States and sometimes the world. And I also help seniors celebrate the end of their athletic careers on senior night. So those are the two big things that my business does. Knowing that, do you have any ideas? Can you walk me through creating what might be valuable to journalists or just a linkable asset process that other people could follow as well?
Yeah, you're in an easy industry being in senior citizens.
Oh, it's not senior citizens. It's senior athlete, like high school and college.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I actually had to change some of my keywords to be like senior sports night instead of senior night because I did get some elderly related keywords.
Okay. Yeah, I think a linkable asset to me is something you can pitch and use as bait. And the bait element is important. When journalists are writing, they're searching for data to make a point. And it took me a long time to prove out this concept because it takes a long time to get right. Like, I had a lot of clients that would hire me and build the content. We get it up to page 2 or 3 and then they bail. So this is something you have to persist with before it's going to work. But it's very worth it because you get free links at the end. Because if you can rank for a keyword that has statistics, data, average, whatever in the keyword, then you can bait journalists for links because they're searching for that. You're at the top, they find your page and they reference data on the page and give you a link. I've gotten links from HubSpot, Yopatel, Entrepreneur, no outreach with this strategy. So you go in Ahrefs or SEMrush, you put statistics and then you can do like terms match and then you can filter for whatever. So for you, carpentry statistics, maybe? No. What's good, like, high school.
You had mentioned best gifts and maybe even.
Oh, yeah.
By state or something like, I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you could do like by state. And that's cool because like the state thing, you can create a data map. Like, and maps do really well in DR for some reason.
What's a data map?
Yes. So we would find a by state keyword that people are searching for. So top Valentine's Day gifts by state, let's say, because they'll say it's timely. Let's say we're doing it around Valentine's Day or something. Then we would make a map and put pictures in each state of the top things. We'd rank the top 10 at the bottom of the article, like bottom 10, like what are the least popular throughout the country? So something like that.
Okay. So you're saying that I would research what these top gifts were. Is that assuming that other people have written something about that?
You do have to screen for if the data is actually available. So this would be like crazy insane one where maybe you do a survey. You're like, okay, when the survey, you ask, what's your state? And then at the end, you go, okay, what gift did you give for Valentine's Day or something? And then you just go through all the data and make a map. I call it the map and rank campaign. You map something and then you rank it by state. So then you can pitch the map out as a main story to bigger PR. Like, hey, we made a map of the top Valentine's Day gifts by state. and national outlets that want to publish that. I don't know, maps do well. There's whole Instagram pages with just like maps. So maps are awesome. But, and then you pitch the ranking to local outlets, like, hey, you ranked number one for this, or like your whatever story you can get there with the ranking element of the data. And then you have this longevity to your pitching, right? You can do the national story and then all these local stories, and you have a lot of outlets that you can pitch it to. So okay, that's so, one.
Okay, go ahead. You have another one?
It's endless.
Give them to me, Ben. The only thing I was going to say is, with that one, I know that surveys could be cost prohibitive for a small business.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm just curious, like, what an alternative to that would be? Because I love the idea. I get the concept, and I get the national versus local and just the longevity piece of it. But it's the actually getting the data piece that's prohibitive, I think, for small businesses.
Yeah. So what you can do if it's like cost prohibitive is it's always like the content is such the expensive part, especially with designing the graphics or whatever. Another one we do is like a trend report where we round up, and you could probably get the graphics cheap if you want to just make it on brands. I don't know. There's a way to do that. For us, the graphics are usually the most expensive part because we have to be on brand and we have to be really specific with, and we have like different clients to work with and stuff. But we create a trend report. And what that is like, we do deep Google Trends research on, okay, we pick a keyword. What's going on in this industry? How do these Google Trends show different behaviors in this industry? And then how can we present that data as here's 10 things we found, like a 10 trend roundup. And then we pick one of them and pitch it out with a press release. So for our client Avik, for example, they're in networking. We did networking trends. And we found Wi-Fi 7 hit $1 billion in sales before it launched. And we're like, whoa, Wi-Fi 7's popping. I just came from going in Google Trends, deep researching, asking questions, going, what's going on? What? Then we just research it like regular. And then, yeah, we published the trend report. We got the Wi-Fi 7 story, made a press release, sent it out, and that's how we got our links. But then what happens with the trend reports that's cool is you rank for a keyword, we'll rank for networking trends. So then later, when journalists are searching networking trends, they just find it. We get free links because they're just finding our stuff and referencing it. So then all we have to do is make sure the data stays up to date and it stays at the top of Google, and we're getting free links then from one content asset. And then you just compound it and do it again and again.
So it sounds like words like trends and statistics are the type of words that you're looking for to get those people to find your content and then link to it. Are there any other little magic words?
Average, cost is a big one, and cost is a good one. Cost is hard because that's also a customer one. That's super valuable because you get people going, what's the cost? Like for me, what's the cost of a backlink? They'll go, customers might search that, read it, maybe buy. And journalists, when they're writing about backlink acquisition costs or link building costs or whatever. So cost keywords are big, but you need a lot of domain authority and a lot of like power to do that. And doing a PR story around cost is very difficult if you're also trying to monetize the page because they can see through that. But just like any data keyword, maybe case study, because journalists might Google a case study or a blogger might Google it, search Google for a case study. But anything data and anything like where you're pouring through a ton of data and finding these little tiny snippets of findings, that's like what you want to get to with a data story. And Brian Dean has a free digital PR course on SEMrush that you can take that talks about a lot of this. The trend report is based on that. It's not exactly in that, but he has three different stories that you can run there and try. But at the end of the day, I think something I learned through learning about digital PR is that you're never going to find that silver bullet of knowledge that's just the right answer. No one's going to tell you, here's the story for your business, right? No one can do that. It's an iterative process, and you have to just start, make a story, start pitching, do it, and eventually you'll get it, right? It's the people who don't get it are the ones who give up. It's like that. You're an athlete in this. It's like a race. You got to seriously go at it. You got to keep trying and iterating. And unfortunately, that's true for my clients investing in me doing it as well. I have to iterate. It takes fewer iterations for me than it would for a client. Like maybe it takes me 3 or something to get it right, but it takes a client 5 to 10. That's, do you want to spend your money or your time? So it's just like that though, but that's marketing.
Okay. So you gave us the map example, and then you gave us the Google Trends example. Could we round it out with one more top example or idea that you've seen success with in the past?
Yeah, so the easiest way to get links, if you're in an easy industry, you just build a stat roundup, no graphics, you go blah, 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 statistics, right? Then you just build that and publish it on your website, and then you do guest posting to get links to it. but you get the links with the anchor text that matches the keyword. So for me, I published an article, Google review statistics, and then I just rounded up 10 stats I found on the internet, did the trend report-ish thing. And then in my case, it just ranked. I didn't have to do any link building. So there is a chance that your data asset ranks if no one's written about it before, and then you're good and you don't have to do anything. But if you're doing guest blogging, what I could have done if it ranked like number four, I could have gotten a Google review statistics anchor text link to it to help push it up a little bit. So you can do just build the data content on your website and do guest blogging for links. And that's like a very predictable way to get the outcome you're looking for as far as active and passive link acquisition, right? But the problem people run into when they do guest blogging is they always try to go cheap with the links, and then the links are bad. You almost want to go more expensive. You want a really good writer. You want the content piece to be epic. Because when you're publishing a guest post, one thing is you're building a relationship with that journalist or blogger, and you want the content to be good anyway. But the other thing is, if the content's good, the link's more powerful, because Google uses on-page factors to determine the quality of a link. It's almost the investor mindset of, I need a cheaper link cost, kicks in, and it's, that's counter to what you want. You almost want them to be more expensive because that's what makes them better. Like investing more in like the content of it, or the outreach process or the story, because then the links are more powerful, right?
Okay, so I'm confused on, where are you spending the money in this situation?
Oh, labor, software tools for analysis, just email software, outreach software tools, whatever. Writer.
Then like the person who's writing, they're writing for other publications and then looking back to you. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So if you're hiring a writer for this, I don't know, a lot of people want to hire for it because they hate doing it. It's such a painful, I got to send 20 emails and then talk to this. You know what I mean? It's a lot of work. And then finding the contact, writing every email by hand, it's just a lot of work. I guess I just talk about outsourcing it a lot, partly because I run an agency and I just talk to everyone who wants to outsource this. Yeah, if you want to DIY, just, it doesn't cost anything. Just write the articles. Don't pay for links. Write good articles that actually do something for the audience. Get it published. Get your link in there. Link to your stat page. And then, yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah, I think for product sellers and small e-commerce brands that might use Shopify, that there's a challenge of writing without writing exactly for your product to promote your product, and to find ideas that the people who are buying from you would be interested in understanding their customer journey. And so do you have any ideas for ideating or just really being able to understand a customer's journey?
I think it's like really understanding the problem that your product solves. For me, I find a lot of success, honestly, just talking to my customers. It sounds so basic, but like, I got on a call with someone and I was trying to do my own SEO, and I was like, man, I can't just rank for SEO. Like, that's when I was starting my website. I'm like, that's insane. I got to find some other buyer intent keywords. So I just started asking people when I was doing interviews, like for clients and stuff, just like, yo, what did you search for? Because they didn't find me for search necessarily, but I would ask them, what did they search for? And he's, oh, I don't know, like Houston SEO. And I'm like, I'm not in Houston. And that was interesting to me because I'm like, listen, okay, wait. So he's searching locally, but he didn't actually want a local person. So then what I did on my website is I built all these city pages for like link building. So I found the opportunity by talking to my customer. It wasn't through a tool. It was just, I talked to the customer and I'm like, wait, what, you're doing that? Holy crap. No, wait. I just built off of his behaves.
That's okay. So I think this is probably the last question I have, because it ties it up in terms of what we can actually control, because what you're just talking about right now is building internal links, right? How powerful are internal links versus getting links from other websites? I've seen a lot of movement just building internal links versus outreach.
Yeah, they're really good. If you have other pages on your website that have links, so, and that's where this ties in, right? You build the stat roundup on your website, and then that's a powerful internal linking asset. You link from that to your product pages, and it's going to pass the link authority down to those product pages. So yeah, that's why when I'm building a page on my website, it's only for sales or links, nothing else. If it's for anything else, I do it as a guest post, right? So if it's, man, I have some cool tips that I could share, or like some cool ideas of how to increase business profits. Okay, that's a guest post. It's not like a valuable page for my website necessarily. It's just cool information and it can make a cool link. So I'll pitch it out as a guest post.
Wow, that's really interesting, but also very smart. Just like being able to separate what is business and what is not, what's going to really drive business outcomes.
Yeah, because a lot of people just try to build a lot of keyword driven content. They're like, oh, it's good for SEO. And I'm like, yeah, if it gets a link, but like, it's not very targeted. So you don't just publish random content with keyword. And the whole clustering thing I don't agree with the cluster thing up front because like it happens naturally anyway as you build your website. You start to publish more pages, more blog posts, you're going to cluster anyway. But keep your focus on links and sales. The cluster can exist within that only. You don't need to build all these topical pages. And all you're going to get is people that are like top of funnel, not ready to buy. And that can be an offsite piece, like a guest post or something.
Yeah, the whole concept of clustering, I ran into it a different way. Part of it was that I was using Surfer SEO. But when I was using Surfer, I saw that I was missing more targeted keywords. And again, since I sell to sports moms and senior athletes, someone who is looking for a basketball senior night gift isn't looking for senior night gift necessarily. They're probably looking for basketball senior night gift. So once I had one aha, then I was like, oh, okay, I need to do it for basketball. I need to do it for softball. I need all of these different product links. I wrote blogs related to that or whatever. And then I ended up with a cluster, where obviously, that builds my authority for sports senior night. But yeah, I agree with you that you can get there both ways. But if you are an authority on a certain topic, you're going to end up with a bunch of different articles or pages that support your authority.
Yeah. And you're just going to build it. Like another reason to build content on your website is sales. I call it sales enablement. This is a term that's used in like marketing a lot, but a lot of entrepreneurs don't know about it, but it's like content that helps you sell. So like for me, that's like a blog post about exactly everything I do to do a guest posting campaign. So I'll talk about it and the client will go, what's that on the call and ask some questions. Here, I'll send you an article. And then they read the whole thing and go, geez, this guy helps me close the deal. So that kind of content as well. And even better if it's offsite. Imagine if I sent that and it was on like Search Engine Journal or something. Then he'd be like, so that's what PR can do. And for your business, I think the reason I pitched the map thing is because you're selling like gifts and you have this element of the newsworthy part ties into what you sell. So people will read the story and be like, oh man, I want to get those. And then they'll lazy click to your website and buy it. The lazy click is what you want to look for there. But that ties products very well and it's newsworthy at the same time. So you have the tie there. And really finding that's all in creative thinking. I don't know. There's no weird freaking direct scientific answer to it. It's just thinking through the dots and going, oh, whoa, oh yeah, they totally would click that. And then over time you get better at thinking that way, like the thinking through how the internet user behaves through things. If you think about it, we're just looking at a block in front of us with light shining at our face. Oh man, we're trying. So like just understanding that element of the user on the computer is okay. Yeah, you really ought to make this thing easy.
Yeah. I think having these type of conversations and hearing someone have this type of conversation, it's like the catalyst for ideation. Like some people might not even know that this was a possibility. And I know the point of time where I didn't know that certain things were a possibility. And you've even reframed ideas for me. I just wrote down an idea as like, okay, because I need data that already exists. So I'm like, senior photographers are another big target for me because I sell senior photo props. So I'm like, I could figure out how many senior photographers there are in each state and do a roundup and that type of stuff. I don't know. But I just would not have had that idea if we wouldn't have had this conversation.
Yeah, definitely. But I think after having the conversation, you realize how it's not the scientific, mathematical, like crazy. It's just like, it's art. Kind of like making music. And musicians are pretty good at making music because they've been doing it so long, but you can figure it out.
You just have to start and then pull on a string.
Yes, exactly. I love that. Pull on a string because I play guitar. I love that.
Okay. If someone wants to connect with you, follow you, all that type of stuff, where can they locate you on the internet?
If they want to talk to me about business, LinkedIn's probably the best place. And if they want to make a book call on my website, rinkomedia.com, they just scroll to the bottom, book call. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you for taking the time to speak with me today. The information you shared is just so helpful. We can take it and apply it to our individual businesses. So thank you so much.
Yeah, I hope it's helpful.
That's it. I'll see you next time. Bye.
Yeah, thanks, Crystal.
Hey guys, this is Crystal, one of your co-hosts from the Simple and Smart SEO Show podcast. If you're looking for a unique, handcrafted way to spruce up your home or office, then collagenwood.com is the perfect place for you. We are a small, woman-owned business that offers a range of beautiful wooden signs for your home or office. Our talented team of artists will work with you to create a sign that perfectly suits your needs. So why wait? Use promo code SIMPLE10 to save 10%. Visit collagenwood.com today. Save 10% with promo code SIMPLE10. That's collagenwood.com.